Praising the Lord. I'm going to go ahead and continue kind of a theme that I had a few weeks ago. I was talking about how we resist the attacks of Satan. And so I thought, and it was impressed upon me, we're going to resist the attacks, but where do I get that power from? How do I resist? I'm going to resist, and we talked a lot of ways to resist, but we want to make sure that we can resist. And some of the ways the devil attacks us is he attacks our confidence. Because when he attacks your confidence, you start being self-conscious about yourself. You know, he tries to throw those fiery darts. You know, no one really wants to hear what you're saying, or you're bothering people. Don't go talk to that person because they don't really care. And but that's the way the devil does. And so I was going to tell a little story, and which I thought was interesting, but I'll tell you this little story. So back in the old days, I had... Ramona and I were going to Bible college, and I was just new, kind of getting in. Well, I've always been a Christian, but I was my first time at Bible college, and I was trying to get to learn and to do the right things, and you know, kind of get into it. So Ramona and I were in the singing group, and I don't know if you remember. Some of you maybe remember the Lee Singers from Lee College, or West Coast Singers. It was just a group that they would travel around. During our college, during the summer breaks and spring breaks, we would travel around the country, and we'd visit churches, and we would sing and do a whole service. And so we were doing that, and we were many days into that. And one day, I remember, we were in a little town up in northern New Mexico, in a small little town. I think it was Farmington, if I can recall. But what I do recall is during part of that service, we would have some of our... The other men that were studying to be in the ministry, they would come down front, and we would have kind of an altar call to come down, and you can ask for prayer, and they would help you, you know, prayer. And I was encouraged to do that, to join. And so I'm like, okay, I'll do that. Now, here's where Satan started attacking me. It's like, you don't really know what you're talking about. These guys got a lot more experience than you, and, you know, what are you going to do for somebody? You know, I mean, these are the thoughts that come into your mind. But I went ahead, and I went down there, and the Lord gave me strength to go down there. And when I did, we were all down there, and a lot of people started coming forward, and they would come up to you, and then you would ask them, you know, what they would like to pray about. So I had this church member come up to me, and I don't know why, but he seemed really scary. I mean, he's like kind of a big guy, you know, no-nonsense guy. But he comes up to me, and I'm like, I'm going to do this. Okay, so he comes up to me, and I say, well, did you have anything you wanted to pray about? And he says, no. And I'm like, okay. And I'm like, did you want to pray about some family members? No. Okay, I'm going to hang in here. I'm going to get some. So eventually, we didn't have anything really that he had to pray about, but we prayed, and we had our prayer and everything. And it was over with, and everybody went back to their seats, and I went back up, and we did a few more songs before the end of the service. I was relieved, right, because that was really awkward, my first time doing that. And so after the church service was over, we would do this custom, is since we're traveling around and we don't have a lot of money, we stay at the homes of the church members. We stay at the homes. So they're dividing everybody up. You go in twos and threes, and you have your partner, and you'll go to one of the church members' houses. And so when they call my name, guess who I'm going home with? I'm going home with a man that came up, and we had this awkward time. So I'm like, oh, okay. All right, God, I can do that. So we went ahead, and I thought, you know what? I got my buddy with me. He's also studying for the ministry, so we're going to be a team. We're going to go, and I'm going to be faithful. I'm going to be confident. So we go to this man's house and his family and everything. And so eventually we ended up being in his living room, and after we got all settled in, and we were talking, and this is where they want us to talk and minister and have really, you know, a good relationship with them. And right about the time we get started, my friend's like, oh, you know, I'm kind of tired. I think I'll go to bed. And he gets up and leaves. So now it's just me and this other man. But you know what, though? The Lord is so faithful, because I just hung in there. And we had the best conversation. We ministered to each other. We shared the gospel back and forth. And it was really edifying for me. And I hope for him. But it certainly wasn't me. It wasn't by my might or by my power. It was by the Spirit of the Lord. Because it was awkward and I was shy about it. But it worked out really well. But that's the type of thing the devil does. He's going to throw things at us, and he's going to tear us down. And there's a secret that I know. You guys might know this too. But as nice as we are and as friendly as we are, there's somebody that hates us, and that's Satan. Satan and his demons hate us. Their whole job is, and their whole desire is to rob us, kill us, destroy us, and destroy our victory. You know, the Bible talks about the devil being a roaring lion. And a lot of people think, oh, I should be scared, it's a roaring lion. But we know that's wrong, because in James 2:19 it says that it's the demons who tremble. So by contrast, Christians are always the victors over the demons. That's right, he's toothless. And so, well, Matthew 16:18, Jesus says, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. So who's the church? Is that just the people back in those days, or is that just, you know, some other organ? No, it's all of us, all of the believers, the redeemed. We are the church, and we will be victorious. And as I said, the gates of hell will not prevail against it. So now, as far as that term, the gates of hell, there's a lot of commentary on that. What does that mean? What are we talking about for gates of hell? And some people say that, it means a place where leaders meet. That's the gates of hell. Or back in the old days, that's where a lot of the leaders would meet. They also say, well, maybe that means death or the grave. But the one that I think that is most accurate is when you're talking about the gates of hell, that's the forces and powers of Satan and his demons that come against you. That is the gates of hell that come against you. So captured in those seven words, the gates of hell shall not prevail against the church. The devil, Satan, and his demons will not prevail. It's just that simple. The church will be victorious, and Satan and his demons will not. So, you know, it's, again, I talk about this quite a bit. Maybe I watch too much news. But, you know, you see so many things. And for my whole life, and perhaps for yours, we've always felt like we're living in the last days. But yet we are still here. And but now it seems to be ramping up. It seems to be moving that way. And it's scary. But guess what? We know how this story ends. We've heard this song before. We read it in the book. We know that Jesus be victorious, and we have nothing to fear. So that's what I tell myself. But the arch enemies of the church in this time of spiritual warfare, those are the rulers, the authorities, and the powers of this dark world, and the spiritual forces of evil. That's his scheme, is the evil one. And Ephesians 6:11-16 tells us to put on the full armor of God so you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, against spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you will be able to stand your ground. After you have done everything to stand firm. Then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist and the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace, in addition to all this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish the flaming arrows of the evil one. We have to rely on that. We can't stand on our own. It's not by our own power. It's by the power of the Lord. So this ongoing spiritual warfare, it's going to last until Jesus comes back. We're not going to shut it down, but we're going to be victorious. We're going to withstand it, and we'll be victorious. So when the Son of God, as he promised, that hell and Hades shall not overcome and prevail against his beloved church. He died for this church, rose again to save us, as it tells us in Corinthians. So 1 John 3:8, the Son of God appeared for this very purpose, to destroy the works of the devil. This is an eternal truth, that devil is a wicked, foul spirit. Peter told us that we should always be of sober spirit and be on alert, because your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, as we already said. And he's going to seek to whom he may devour. And that's Satan's nature. He despises the church and the people. And if we give in to him, he and his legions of evil spirits will have a very destructive influence on our lives. They will oppress, and they will just attack and oppress. We just heard that John reminded us of the specific reasons that Jesus came to earth was to destroy the works of the devil. And he did this very effectively by three things altogether: his death, his burial, and his resurrection from the dead. And by that, we as believers know that now we get to walk in the victory that He secured for us over the works of the devil. My thing's falling apart here. All right. And He's rescued us from the dominion of darkness. Therefore, as we said, the gates of hell shall not prevail. We are given power in His name. And we know that. But what such power that we have is not us. But as we stand in the name of Jesus and in our biblical principles, and we're talking and we can command those devils, and they must listen. Acts 10:38 talks about how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power, and how He went around doing good things and healing all who were under the power of the devil, only because God was with Him. So during the time of Jesus' ministry, which I've always thought of as 3 years, but as I was studying this more, I noticed some people say 2.5, some people say 3.5, but I say 3. So, 3 years. 3 years of his public ministry. He consistently demonstrated the power that He had over Satan and demons. In Acts 10:38 tells us that the Father anointed Jesus with the Holy Spirit and power. Subsequently, in the fullness of heavenly power, Jesus went around doing good and healing all who were under the power of the devil. Now, there's some differing of opinions about how much influence the devil can have regarding our health, especially those of us that are redeemed, that are born again. But he does influence, and that's really not the main point. The main point would be that whatever the devil's attacks are against you, we just need to remember and act on the fact that our Savior gave us all the power we need over the devil. And He came to the earth, like we said many a time, and it bears repeating, He came to earth to destroy the devil's work. He no longer has power over your life. Not at all. You know, I was thinking if I could have pictures, I'd put a picture of maybe a little demon, right? Say, could we beat that demon? Yeah, we can. Then I put a picture of a giant demon, a big scary demon. Can we defeat that demon? Yeah, there's no difference. We have power over the demons. And so they don't have any power over us. So Paul wrote that the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing. But to those of us who are being saved, it is the power of God. And that's 1 Corinthians 1:18. So at the cross, the apostle said that Jesus disarmed the spiritual rulers and authorities of this world. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God. Jesus came to destroy the devil's works. By His death on the cross and the resurrection from the dead, He disarmed Satan and his host of demons. And that brings us assurance to His people that the gates of hell shall not prevail. So, and as we said, and I'll repeat it in John 10:10, the thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. But then the Lord says, I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. So if we only had that first part, that'd be pretty scary. You know, the thief's coming to kill, steal, and destroy. That's all He's here. That's the whole reason why He's here. But we've got the second part, that Jesus came to give us life and have life to the full. So when He comes against us with malicious intent, we know that the direct opposite is true, that Jesus reassures His followers that He has come to bring us life in the full. So we don't have to worry about that. So in any and all demonic attacks against you, all we have to do is remember Jesus and choose to side with the victorious side, with Jesus, and not be defeated by Satan. And how do we do that? Well, the biggest thing that Satan does to us is he uses the evidence that we have against us. He uses what we see and what we hear and what other people might say. And those things start chipping away. You know, I can't do that because nobody else can do that. Everybody thinks, no, we stand in the name of the Lord Jesus and we are all powerful against the forces of the devil. And he may come at you with addictions, or he may come at you with family problems, or he may come at you with even drug issues. Those are the ways that the devil comes after you. And we're like, oh, it's got too big of a hold on him. No, it doesn't, because that is just the demons coming at you and influencing you and overwhelming you. You just say the name of Jesus, and we've got victory. So, in his example of this is in Matthew 8:28, and we're familiar with the story, but 8:28 says, and when he came to the other side, into the country of the Gadarenes, two demon-possessed men confronted him as they were coming out of the tombs. They were so extremely violent that nobody could pass that way. And they cried out, saying, what business do you have with us, Son of God? they immediately recognized him and they knew who he was. Right? Well, what business do you have with the Son of God? Have you come here to torment us before our time? And I was thinking about that. Why would they say that? Because he knew who he was. And then the first thing they say, are you here to torment us before our time? What is their time of torment? That's at the end of the story that we saw. They're all going to be cast into the pit, into the lake of fire. They know that's coming. So that's just another validation that even the demons know how this story ends. So we don't have to worry about it. But anyway, so he says, if I can find my place, did you come to torment us before the time? Now, there was a herd of many pigs feeding at a distance from them. And the demons begged him, saying, if you're going to cast us out, send us into that herd of pigs. And you know what Jesus said? Go. As soon as he said go, they came out, went into the pigs, and we all know the story. The pigs ran down the hill into the sea and drowned. Well, that's just one of many accounts of how Jesus exercised total authority and dominion over the demons. Those violent, crazy men were fully possessed by so many wicked demons, people couldn't go by there. They would just avoid it. They wrote that off. But with one word, go, they had to listen. They couldn't negotiate. They couldn't fight. They're out. So they can't resist us, and they can't resist the name of Jesus. So now another time in Luke 10:17, we're aware of how it tells us that now the 72 returned with joy, saying, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. And he said to them, I watched Satan fall from heaven like lightning. Behold, I have given you authority to walk on snakes and scorpions and authority over all the power of the enemy. Nothing will injure you. And this next part I thought was really interesting. It says, nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rejoice that your names are recorded in heaven. In other words, this is nothing that the demons are subject to you in my name. That's a given. Don't have to be happy about that. But that's done and over with. You're happy that your names are recorded in heaven. And that's how we are. So some of us think that, well, that's pretty good. That's pretty strong. That works for Jesus. That worked back in the day. But I'm not, I'm just John. Can that work for me? Can that work for me too? Do I have power like that over the devil in Jesus' name? Do you have power like that over the devil in Jesus' name? Yes, we do. We do. He said it many times. Here's another example. And this kind of builds a little bit more on that last example we had. Jesus sent out a large number of his disciples, and he wanted them to minister throughout the land. And they returned joyfully and reported even the demons were subject to them, as we said. And his promise to them rings true and valid in our time as well. His promise was, I give you authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. The spirits are subject to you. Back then and still today, Jesus gives his followers, those that are redeemed, that stand in his word and use his name, authority over all the power of the enemy. And that means whether it's government oppression, whether it's sickness, whether it's poverty, we shouldn't worry about it. I mean, he always provides a way. That's one thing, and I know that's what Brother Halsey used to always say. The Lord would always provide, at least I would hear him say that, the Lord would always provide a way. And it's an easy thing to think of, but it takes faith to really grasp hold of that, because I'm looking at what I see. You're telling me the Lord will find a way, but I don't, maybe I don't have my job and I've got to feed my family. And you're telling me the Lord will find a way. It seems to always work out. How does that work? Because the Lord works it out. He makes sure. His word does not come back void. In Mark 16:15-18, he said to them, again, go into the world and preach the gospel to all creation. The one who has believed and has been baptized will be saved, but the one who has not believed will be condemned. These signs will accompany those that believed. In my name, they're going to cast out demons. And this includes us. In his name, we will cast out demons. We'll speak in tongues. We'll pick up serpents. And that's kind of an example. It's a reality, but it's also an example. Things are not going to hurt you. It even says if you drink deadly poison, it's not going to harm you. You will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. What an amazing blessing that is. Now, the verse is Matthew 28, 18 through 20, or what's commonly called from Jesus the Great Commission to his church. And he told his followers, "I give you this," his followers, "that I give you this authority over the evil spirits." He is sending them out to preach the gospel to all creation, just like he's sending us out into the world. We all have different callings and we do different things, but nevertheless, we're always a beacon to the world. We're a reflection of Jesus to the world, and you make an impact, as we know we're the salt of the earth, right? Can you imagine? Oh, I can't imagine on that day, and I'm getting off track here, but when the Lord raptures his church and takes it away, who is here to stand in the gap? You don't want to be here when that happens, because you know, we are the ones that reflect the love of Jesus, and we're all going to be gone. So it's going to be a hard time, and we know how that is. And it goes, that's a whole other sermon from Revelation. But anyway, okay. So another example we have is Acts 16, 16 through 18. At once we were going to a place of prayer. We were met by a female slave who had a spirit by which she predicted the future. She earned a lot of money for her owners by fortune-telling. And she followed Paul and the rest of us, as it says, shouting, "These men are servants of the Most High God. They're telling you the way to be saved." And she kept this up for many days. So finally, and I thought this was funny, finally Paul became so annoyed at her, he turned around and said to the Spirit, "In the name of Jesus, I command you to come out of her." And at that moment, the Spirit left. I'm just thinking about that. I mean, you're thinking, well, how is that wrong? I mean, she's coming around saying these are the servants of the Most High God. Well, it's true. But she must have really gotten on Paul's nerves, you know, just constantly saying stuff. And finally, he turned around and said, "Spirit, leave in Jesus' name." And the Spirit left. So by that, Paul demonstrated the power that Jesus promised to believers over the demon spirits. Now, he had been, as we just said, he had been ministering for days in Philippi. The woman had a fortune-telling spirit and followed him around. And when he discerned that demon, he just cried out, "In the name of Jesus, I command you to come out of her." And she was instantly delivered. So Paul fully understood that even the wickedest demons shall not prevail against the name of the Lord Jesus, once you speak that in faith. Now in Acts 28, 3 through 5, is another example. And you might recall this, when Paul gathered a pile of brushwood, and as he put the wood into the fire, because they were cold, and he put the wood in the fire, a viper, it says, driven out by the heat, leaped out and bit him on the hand. What do you think he did? Did he scream and jump and, was it? Call 911. No, he just shook it off into the fire. So the apostle, he and his shipmates had been shipwrecked on Malta. So they were there, shipwrecked, and you can imagine a shipwreck, you don't have much, you don't have shelter, so they're cold, and they're building that fire. It was a cold and rainy day, so when they built the fire, the heat drove out the venomous snake and bit him on the hand. So isn't that one of these things like, oh, that's so awful, that bit me on the hand. Why did God let that happen? Well, for one, it bit you on the hand, but it didn't have any effect. But for two, people saw this. And so Paul went on to minister divine healing to the chief's father, the chief of that island area. And because of that, it led to a healing revival on the island. So God uses things that the devil's trying to do to get you and to destroy you. "I'm going to bite you on the hand and you're poisoned." Well, first of all, no, the poison's not. I'm going to shake you off. And because I did that and these people saw it, that sparked faith with them. And I was able to go and minister to the chief, and the whole island had a revival. Yep. So we too, by faith in Jesus' name, can shake off those serpents. Just as he said, he gave his followers authority to trample on the serpents and over the power of the enemy. And every encounter that we have with them, we want to oppose them. Not give in, not run and hide, but oppose them with the full armor of God. Right? And we have the secret weapon. We stand in the name of Jesus, so Satan shall not prevail. Now, Revelation 22, 7, and 10, I had to kind of jump around a little bit. It says that, "And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil, or Satan, and bound him 1,000 years. And when the 1,000 years had expired, Satan was loosed out of his prison. And the devil that deceived them later, he was loosed out of his prison, and we know what happens there. And again, that's a whole other story, what's happening in Revelations. But after that period of time, what happened to that dragon, that devil? He was thrown into the lake of fire and brimstone, right in there with the false prophet, right in there with the beast, and he was tormented forever and ever, day and night. So, and unless we don't know that the serpent is the devil, it even talks about that in Genesis 3, when the serpent deceived Eve. And it led to Adam and Eve partaking of the forbidden fruit. So in the book of the Bible, John clearly tells us that the old serpent is the devil, is Satan. So in the Garden of Eden, Satan got a little bit of victory. He thought he had won over. He thought he did the ultimate act. I'm going to deceive God's two perfect people. And he brings sin into the life. So he had a little bit of a victory. But then 2,000 years ago, so give or take, Jesus came to earth. He lived and he preached and he taught and he healed and delivered people. And then he went to the cross and he died for our sins and was buried and rose on the third day. So the devil was defeated. We don't go by our timetable. We go by God's timetable. So again, forever, our Savior ascended back to heaven and back to the Father, and having redeemed the sentence of sin that came upon us, that was the eternal punishment for all. But now God has delivered us from that. So now, as I was kind of mentioning before, many of us believe that Jesus' second coming is not far off. And I really don't think it is. I mean, could it very well be the next minute? Yeah, it could be. Could it be next week? No. Could it be 50 years from now? Possibly. But then I'm starting to push it, because I can't see us lasting much longer. The way things are going, I can't see us lasting much longer than that. But it is imminent, and so we definitely want to be prepared for that. So when he does return, he's going to return in flaming fire. He's going to have wrath upon those who oppose him. But in glory and love, he will gather all the redeemed unto himself. And the saved will reign with him for 1,000 years. And that's just a millennium. And then after that, we know that there'll be a new heaven and a new earth, and we'll live with him for eternity. So, kind of going back over it, Satan, whom God had locked up, will lock up for 1,000 years. He's going to be cast into the never-ending torment in the lake of fire. The redeemed will live on with God in indescribable glory all throughout eternity. And that promise that was made by the Lord will come to pass, as the gates of hell shall not prevail. We will celebrate that, and we will praise the Lord, and we'll be right there with him. And as it says in Psalms, the promise that God's presence is fullness of joy. There will be no devil, no demons, no sin, no sickness or death. Only blissful eternity for those that are saved and will enjoy the presence of God together in heaven. So, in closing, to kind of wrap up a little bit, I thought it would be nice to ran across a few scriptures that kind of jumped out. And they're scriptures that help perhaps strengthen our walk and our ability to stand on these promises that the Lord's given us. So I have three of these. And it speaks of victory and triumph that Jesus brings to us. So the first one is Romans 8, 37 through 39. So, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Jesus Christ our Lord. That says a lot right there. 1 Corinthians 15:57 would be the second one. But thanks be to God, he gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. So I was thinking that would be good, because I could memorize that pretty easy. Can you imagine? We can have that in your arsenal. And any time the devil starts coming after you, say, but thanks be to God, he gives us, the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. And third, another one that was helpful is 2 Corinthians 2:14. Now thanks be unto God, which always causeth us to triumph in Christ and maketh manifest the Savior of his knowledge by us in every place. So, what I would say, if the devil's going to come after us, which he does, that's his very nature. We know that's his whole reason for being. He was thrown out of heaven. He has nothing to lose. and he wants to destroy the work that the Lord is doing. He wants to destroy the church. So if that's going to happen, and I also then know that Jesus already gave us the victory, and he gave us the tools to defeat the powers of Satan, right? That we're going to use that. Why wouldn't we? So what I would say is if you have not come and given your life to the Lord, if you've not had that conversation with the Lord to ask him to be your Savior and the Lord of your life, you need to do that. And a lot of times I'll just ask and say, would you like to do that? But I'm going to tell you, you need to do that. Because if you don't, when the times come now when the devil comes against you, you're there by yourself. I don't want to be by myself. I want the Lord to be living in me. So if you haven't made that decision, you haven't had that conversation with the Lord, you need to do that. And I would invite you to do that. And if anyone here in the congregation, if you want special prayer, we can do that. If you'd like to come down front, we can pray together and praise the Lord. Does anybody have anything special? I know we already had our prayer request. Yeah, go ahead and close it out. Yeah, we'll close it out now. We'll go ahead. Thank you for joining us here at Living Waters Community Church, and I hope that you have a blessed week and go with the Lord. All right. Well, it was a little rusty at the end there. It wasn't a great transition. I forgot about getting off there. But if you have anything you'd like to pray about, we've already had our prayer, and we've brought it to the Lord. But if you want any personal prayer, and I promise I won't feel awkward if you come down like I did back in the days when I first started. You don't even have to say anything. Just come down. We'll pray. That's what I learned. But if you did, if not, I would just say that well, who would like to close us? Jerry, would you like to close us in prayer and dismiss us? Amen. In Jesus' name, Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Well, thank you. Okay, well, we're dismissed. I hope.